Juno Afternoon is made possible with support from Sentinel Coffee, serving Southeast with locally roasted organic coffee and door-to-door delivery. More at sentinelcoffee.com. The play Blue Ticket just finished its opening weekend at McFeeters Hall. The production, which runs for 2 more weeks, is based on true stories about how suspected homosexuals were exiled or blue ticketed on the ferry system from Juneau in the 1960s. On today's show, we're going to hear about firsthand experiences and stories. With me now here in Studio K at KTOO Public Media, over on my left is Mo Longworth. She is the playwright of Blue Ticket. Welcome to the show, Mo.
Thank you, Scott.
And we also have Bobby Lee Daniels, longtime CPA, small farm operator in Gustavus. Some know him as the Strawberry Man, moved to Juneau in 1958. Bobby Lee Daniels, thank you for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
It's so nice to have you here. We have others who may join this conversation by phone here in a little while. And listeners, if you have questions about this piece of history that is new, I think, to a lot of people, send your questions to JunoAfternoon@KTOO.org. If you have a question for Mo or Bobby Lee or our guests throughout the show, again, that's JunoAfternoon@KTOO.org. Bobby Lee Daniels, is there anything about your introduction that I missed that we should add?
I think you got it all.
All right.
Enough, anyway.
Okay, so you moved here in 1958. Take us back to the scene where your story begins, or take us back to the 60s and set the scene for our listeners, if you will.
Well, I'd like to take it to, while this was going on, I was away. So I wasn't here when it happened. I was a student at the University of Washington in Seattle, boning up on a few accounting courses, getting ready to take my CPA exam. So I this is where I'll start. I mean, because then I can go back and tell you what else happened. I was in class one day. And someone came into my class and said, will you please accompany me? And I did. And I went to an office in the school there. And I was introduced to the man. I don't remember his name, but I couldn't figure out what he did. But later on, after I introduced myself, and we didn't hardly talk at all. He was just looking at me, though I thought that was pretty strange. And he said, all right, you can go now. So I left. And I, you know, wasn't playing. What the heck was that all about? Well, subsequently, 2 weeks later, after another class, two men came by and said, would you kindly accompany us to our automobile? And so I went to their car, and sitting in the car, they started asking me questions. I said, oh, well, they introduced themselves as Coast Guard intelligence officers. So I said, oh, you must be about my former roommate in Juneau who I left and came to school here. And they kind of bristled because how did he know that? What we were going to ask him. Well, you know, I had to put two and two together myself. And sure enough, it was about my former roommate. And they immediately started asking me about sexual relations with him. And I bristled, and I was really teed off about why are you asking me these questions? This seems to be way out of line of what our investigators are doing. And I think they admitted that, yeah, it wasn't what they would prefer to do in investigations. So they kept pestering me and telling me that you should take a lie detector test. And, you know, I didn't like that idea at all, But after thinking it over, well, this is one way to clear my former roommate's name. So we drove downtown, and we're in the office where they had, the Coast Guard had a lie detector test. And so I got introduced, and I met the person taking the test and hooked up to all the bells and whistles, I guess, which is mainly blood pressure and heartbeat. And I did take the test. And, you know, they ask you standard questions and to know if you're lying or not lying. And then I took the test. And after I took it, just before I took it, I wanted to call the ACLU. And I did so, but there was only a receptionist there, so I couldn't get any help there. So I went and took the test, and then a few minutes later, I asked, well, what were the results? And they said, oh, they're indeterminate. Well, sounds like what most of them are. So I left there and was pretty well rattled and incensed about what I had just gone through. Now I'm going to return to the earlier part of these activities. What was happening in Juneau, I had no idea, so I called Juneau or wrote Juneau, I don't remember which way, and the lady who was our receptionist and secretary at the firm I was working for at that time, she sent a little letter back and...
You're holding it. You have it in front of you here.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, this is amazing. That's another story, too, about how I still have this. She said, her first letter, she sent two letters. And the first one was saying something about a woman that lived upstairs over her. And she had a boyfriend who was, she was about 65 and her boyfriend was 27. And she caught him one evening or day in bed with a man. And apparently, according to my secretary here, she tried to stab him. And then this woman went down for revenge, went to the police station and squealed on him. And that may have been one of the reasons that they got this ball rolling of getting rid of the gay men in Juneau.
Well, I just want to interrupt to say that several people have told me they're worried that something they did might have started it rolling. So I think that people feel a little concerned about how it did start rolling because then it kind of went out of control, didn't it? I didn't want to interrupt your story, but I just want to say that.
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of weeks later, she sent me another letter. This was dated November 15th, 1963. And she says, boy, are they ever cleaning this town out. Jim B., I'm not going to give the last names, had to be out by the 1st of December. Another Jim, Jim G., who happened to be the new roommate of my former roommate, he left yesterday. And Dell, 4 weeks ago, and that Ale down at Alaska Music, they locked him up with a $10,000 bail, molesting a minor. So there's a lot of there's some of the reasons, I suppose. And they are hauling kids out of school right and left. Jim says they have about 100 on their list. He's trying to sell his shop. He just broke down and cried. I really felt sorry for him. And that was her letter on this. And then, of course, my former roommate, he was being investigated also because his new roommate was one of these Jims, and he was a gay man. And so Jim had to go get an interview, or Hale had to get an interview from somebody in the Coast Guard, a commanding officer probably. And it took him a while to finally get a resolution to it. And it came in December, and he said he went to his commander officer, and he said who finally got the results of the Coast Guard investigation, and the results were nothing. So he was completely cleared, and he wanted to get an extension of time to stay in Juneau, and his extension was approved. And my friend, my former roommate relates that some of our female friends lost their boyfriends in the inquiry. No one had the courage to tell them why the sudden departures. Very sad in a way. And that's the end of his letter.
If you're just tuning in.
In my conversation.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
That's the voice of Bobby Lee Daniels. Also in the studio with us is Mo Longworth, playwright for Blue Ticket, which is in production at McPheeters Hall right now. This story is part of the basis for the play. Mm-hmm. Bobby Lee, you said maybe 100 or so were she estimated on the list?
That's what she estimated, correct.
And maybe this question goes out to both of you. And this was in 63, is that correct?
Correct. It was just at the time, just before Kennedy was shot.
How many people do you guesstimate were actually blue ticketed and exiled from Juneau?
No idea.
No idea.
I wasn't here. I didn't have any idea what was going on exactly.
Mo, have you, from your research?
I don't think anyone would know because there's no documentation. And out of all these people that I interviewed, a lot of them lead to the same person that got sent away. Like just this morning, someone is contacting me to tell me another tangent or web to the pharmacist in my play who's sent away. Someone is related to the person who was apparently pressured to get rid of him. And so, you know, now she's coming forward because she saw my play.
So thinking of the pharmacist in Blue Ticket, who's Larry Fisher is the character's name. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's a fiction name.
Okay. And played by Odin Brody here in Juneau, Alaska.
That's right.
For an individual like that who was indeed exiled from town, what happened to his business and or house or home?
He was employed downtown. He didn't have his own business. I don't know what his home situation was. So all of these things, that particular story was told to me by a woman who in the play would have been the one Therese Thibodeau was playing, Helen, a recent European immigrant who was very taken back that she would stop in there at the drugstore to say hello to him every day and then was taken aback when she went in and he was gone and they said he wouldn't be back and they didn't know, they wouldn't give her any information. And it reminded her of being in Europe during World War II. And she got very afraid that, oh, my goodness, this is going on here, too. And she tried to investigate and find out what was going on. And she found out why he was sent away by talking to one of the people related to the owner of the store, of why he was sent away. And a lot of the people I interviewed, they didn't realize when the person was sent away, why they were sent away. So it was later that they would realize why. Someone would disappear. And then years later, sometimes, many years later, since he said this story in public, Peter Freer did one of the readings of the blue ticket. In fact, he played Larry Fisher in a read that we did at the State Museum a couple years ago or last year. And after the read, he shared that one of his best friends in school just didn't come to school the next, you know, one day and never came back. And he, years later, the person who was by then a man, and this was in high school that he disappeared, or middle school, and he came to a reunion like they do here on the 4th of July, you know, when the classes all have their big reunions. And he came as an adult and said, the police took us to the ferry in the middle of the night, and my mom and dad and my brothers and sisters, and we weren't able to say goodbye, and we got on the ferry, and we had to leave town because my dad's gay.
Wow. Bobby Lee Daniels, did you ever hear from your roommate again who they were investigating?
Yes. He sent me a letter. I thought I read most of it in December. It was after he had to wait a while till they got around to his case. Nicole Scard, I guess.
Got it. And so, remind us that they what they found with him, please.
He was nothing. They found nothing.
Just and, that he had a gay roommate.
And his captain said, and it was a complete waste of time, and he couldn't understand why they were even doing it.
Wow. Wow.
I'm curious, Bobby Lee, is it okay if I ask a question, Scott?
Yeah.
Do you know what his roommate, if the roommate that was gay, you said he was gay, do you know what happened to him, if he was court-martialed?
No, he's one of the persons sent out. I think in this letter here it was, he left yesterday, which is probably the 14th of November in 1963.
But you don't know if he was court-martialed or what?
He was his roommate. He was
he wasn't
a
Coast Guard.
Yeah.
I see.
He wasn't in a Coast Guard.
Yeah.
Just my roommate was.
I get it.
And Bobby Lee, when you got back, did you know about what year was that?
Oh, I think probably January of 64, after I just took one semester down there.
And once you were back in town, did you see or hear?
I didn't hear anything about who's left and who's was here. I was oblivious to it. At that point myself, I was not out, so I wasn't associated. Just by chance, I would have maybe known some gay men or women, but we never talked about it.
That's the voice of Bobby Lee Daniels. Also in the studio is Mo Longworth, and we're talking about Blue Ticket, the play, and also the phenomenon of blue ticketing, or having people exiled from Juneau in the 1960s for suspected of being gay. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and add a few more voices to this conversation. If you have a question for Bobby Lee or Mo or any of our guests today, please email JuneauAfternoon@ktoo.org.